Welcome to Real Time with Women Leaders in Pharma. I am Sanobar Sayed, the Diversity and Strategy Lead at Women Leaders in Pharma, and I will be the host of this episode. Today's guest, we have Sarah Manley Robertson, an award-winning and published corporate communications and transformation strategist with a very strong record supporting a diverse set of accomplished leaders and successful organizations across industries over more than two decades. She describes herself as a change agent, capacity builder, integrative thinker, intuitive, and fierce. Today's episode, we will be talking about the topic, performing while transforming. Women at all levels face unending change in their lives, their workplace, the industry, and the broader environment. They are working to succeed and advance their careers and wondering what it takes to do that in the midst of relentless change. With this introduction, I would like to hand over the baton to Sarah to help us understand that what is the key to performing under the pressure of unrelenting change?
Thank you, Sanobar, for that introduction. And also thank you to Women Leaders in Pharma for the opportunity to talk with all of you about this topic of transformation, leading yourself, leading others, and performing in a sustainable and balanced way. Change is certainly unrelenting, but it does not have to be daunting. Performing in the face of change, in my opinion, requires a three-part combination. First, understanding the change. Secondly, knowing yourself, knowing your non-negotiables. And finally, driving change and delivering results in parallel. So I'm going to talk a little bit about each one of those three pieces. First, for me, understanding change means finding out what you need to know so that you can believe in the change and the purpose of the change. I'm fierce about asking questions to uncover how the change will serve my stakeholders or my customers, how it will affect others, why it is necessary, and how it connects to the bigger picture. And armed with this information, I can then embrace what's ahead, not just as an intellectual exercise or series of tasks, but as a values-based platform on which a successful future can be built, one that benefits customers, partners, or society at large. And then I can decide how I want to engage with that change. And here's where the knowing yourself and your non-negotiables comes in. So is it aligned with my values? If it is, I'm all in. Is there an opportunity for me to learn something new while creating something that our customers or stakeholders need? If there is, I'm all in. But if I don't see that alignment, I know I need to do more digging. I need to ask more questions. I need to assess that change against my non-negotiables. And finally, performing. Living in, working through, and driving change while driving performance. It's not an or. You can't focus on the change at the expense of your base business. It is an and proposition. As an individual, you need to allocate your energy and time to do both. You need to be conscious of making that decision. And as a team leader, you need to allocate your resources to both transformation and performance in parallel.
That's excellent, Sarah. I think those three guidelines are so simple, but yet effective. And that actually leads me to the next question, that what is your recommendation to lead yourself and others through ambiguity?
Leading through ambiguity is about authenticity. Again, knowing who you are, what you value, but also knowing how others experience you, your weaknesses, and your strengths. When you know who you are and how you can best contribute, things become a lot more clear. At least they do for me. If you're leading others through ambiguity, be purposeful. Change should take place so that you can evolve with your customers or stakeholders or remain relevant in the marketplace, or so you can benefit society. leading others through that change space, that middle space where it's ambiguous, when you're kind of in that in-between, requires you to set a very clear vision and translate that through stories and experiences into concrete actions that others can take. It requires you to go and meet others where they are. Ask them questions to help them think critically, connect the dots, and untangle whatever remains unclear to them. If you can ask them questions, that helps them discover their own path forward. Because the thing with ambiguity is the humans don't like it. Ambiguity triggers that animal brain, our survival brain, and then we don't think with curiosity. Asking questions and igniting curiosity can break this cycle and help you move you or your colleagues into a more rational thinking space. It's the kind of thinking that allows you to perform well transforming.
Absolutely. And I love the point when you mentioned that, you know, how we can, you know, kind of change that ambiguity by leading it with rational thinking and curiosity. I think as individual, we can truly transform. But while we are doing that, Sarah, do you think women can succeed without landing in burnout?
I absolutely do, Sanabar. Let me start by talking about burnout. Burnout just sucks. It sneaks up on me if I'm not paying attention. It brings out the worst in me. It brings out my deliver at all costs, detached, combative me, and it is ugly. Now, some of you may be nodding and some of you may be resisting a similar image of yourself. For those of you who are resisting, I make two requests. Number one, please stop wearing your overwork, exhausted, back-to-back meetings, working on weekends, not taking vacation days as a badge of honor. It is not a badge of honor. It is a derailer. It's a derailer to your mental health, your physical health, your credibility, and your long-term career success. The second request I have of you is take a moment to ask the people closest to you, and I mean the colleagues, the friends, the family members who will call you on your BS, ask them how they would describe you when you're in that busy task, all go, no stop, whirlwind. And when you don't like what you hear, give them your gratitude and then give yourself some space. Space is key to avoiding burnout. So let's talk about what I mean by space. Number one, plan time to think. There's this great book by Nancy Klein. She offers all kinds of actions and behaviors that you can follow to create this kind of thinking space. You might want to check out her book. Another kind of space is cultivating joy. Brené Brown believes that play is at the core of creativity and innovation. And when I first started thinking about this concept, it was just so counterintuitive to me that I would be able to be more productive by playing, that I could go faster if I slowed down. But it's really true. And it's been essential to me finding success, you know, finding that joy and the fun. And it's just unfortunate that in our world, that it insists on rewarding being busy. So it definitely takes courage to step back and make that time to play. For me, avoiding burnout is also about avoiding being bored. I read somewhere that bore out is just as prevalent and damaging as burnout. And I found there's a whole book on this topic by Peter Werder. And I found a study published by Udemy that noted 43% of workers reporting bore out. Bore out being that place where you can't see the purpose in your work. You don't know how what you're doing is making a difference and you're being underutilized. And for me, this is a really terrible place to be. This also brings out my kind of detached, ugly monster that we talked about earlier. So make sure you know your strengths, your values, and advocate to be working on projects that leverage both. Avoiding burnout also requires being intentional with your energy. purposefully choosing what kind and how much energy to place on each aspect of your life. So I'm going to stop there on burnout, because you also asked me how to succeed. And this could be a whole podcast all to itself. So I'll just leave you with one thought. A critical component of my career journey thus far has been defining and redefining success along the way. As I accumulate accomplishments and lessons, it's like repacking your bags. I rummage around in there and I keep what got me the best results, and I take out or release what no longer serves me to make way for what's possible for that next success. I really think that redefinition over time of what success means to you is an important part of avoiding burnout.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. I think that was one of the best answers I've really heard in a long, and I really liked the fact that you not only gave some really cool data and insights, like I really did not know that there's a bore out and a burnout. Like there is a difference. So I think that's very, very helpful. And I think there is so much of introspection when we can, you know, go ahead. And as women, when we are kind of, you know, always overworked and exhausted, back-to-back meetings, and have professional and personal, you know, life to balance, I think this could be so much effective. And I also like that you gave some really cool book recommendations, the one with Nancy Klein, but, you know, I feel there is so much we can, you know, learn by even reading ourselves. So I would really encourage our podcast listeners to go out and read books which are recommended by Sarah. I feel it would be so beneficial. I'm going to grab a copy myself. And that actually gives me another thought, Sarah, that while we are now understanding, introspecting, and learning of, you know, bore out, burnout, and a lot of things which we can actually do. And, you know, when you explained that, how do you succeed with this whole paradigm and, you know, things which is happening, you know, what is that advice, Sarah, would you like to give women wherein they can navigate their careers with a very sustainable and balanced approach?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Sanabar. I'm again going to take this in two parts. I want to talk a little bit about navigating career, and then we'll talk a little bit about balance. So first, career navigation. I believe we each have more than one career in us. And so I share that with you because it may reframe how you think about career versus it being, you know, one big long line. Maybe your working life is chunked down into several careers over certain time periods, or over certain groups of accomplishments, which leads me to my second thought on careers. I believe that careers are built by collecting the experiences and skills you need to achieve a certain goal. I also believe that that goal is a combination of intention. So how you want to feel when you're at the summit, you know, how you know that you've reached the summit of that particular career. Accolades, what you want others to be saying about you, and effect, what you want to create. What do you want the result of your effort to be? If you're going to think about your career this way, you also need to embrace the notion that career paths are not necessarily linear and defined. And it takes courage to advocate for that belief in a pharma industry, an industry that typically has straight line defined traditional pathways. So in addition to what I said before about advocating for yourself, knowing what your values and your strengths are and advocating to be on projects or teams that help you collect the skills and experiences you want, I have two additional pieces of advice for career navigation. One is learn the business. Whatever business you're in, learn it. Work in it, not beside it. And I say a little more on this topic on the WLP website, and I got to do a member profile a while back. So you might want to take a peek at our website There's lots of great advice from many of our members in those profiles. Secondly, believe in your abilities while being open to growth. I believe strengths can be enhanced, new skills and behaviors can be developed. And that is why, for me, the answer is always yes when there's a new opportunity to learn a new skill or a new perspective, particularly if it's going to help me collect those skills and experiences that I want to help me reach that summit of my career. Let's flip to balance. To me, keeping balance is not binary. It isn't a two-sided like teeter-totter that you need to keep level. For me, it's more like picture a big pie sitting on top of a ball. And all the pieces of the pie are all the things that are important to you: career, family, mental health, physical well-being, community, whatever slices make up your life pie. And at different phases of your life or your career, you put more energy or more weight on one slice than the other. So the pie kind of tips around on top of the ball, right? It's not always level. And at different times, you may need more help in one slice than in another. When you find that in yourself in that space where you really like help to change the angle of your pie, please leverage your mentors and coaches. And if you don't have one, join WLP so you can participate in our members-only coaching and mentoring programs. And a final thought on balance, Cinnabar. Balance is achieved when you're in alignment. When you can bring your authentic self to whatever you're doing, and when you make that space to think, when you take the time to play, and when you're finding joy and possibility in whatever you're doing. For me, that's what balance and sustainability is all about.
This is fantastic, Sarah. I think our viewers and our listeners would have enjoyed as much as I have enjoyed talking to you, especially if I would, you know, just go back to our conversation and summarize, like, how did we begin of understanding, you know, what change is, how do we perform in that change? How do we, you know, lead ourselves? And more importantly, through ambiguity, you gave some really cool insights where we discussed about understanding and being an authentic self, understanding that are we landing into a burnout? And if yes or no, what would be our approach as women? How do we navigate our careers with a more sustainable and balanced, mindset? And I really liked when you said that, how do we have to learn the business, but also be open to growth? And finally, you know, at the end of the day, always have that pie or pizza, if you like, in your mind, that each slice is as important as the other slice. You need to balance that slice to make the whole pie or the pizza. So that's very, very impactful advice, I would say, Sarah. And thank you so much. Also, I would like to thank everybody to listening Real Time with Women Leaders in Pharma. If you have enjoyed the time you spent with us today, you can follow us on LinkedIn and Instagram. And to become a member, I would encourage you to visit our website to learn more. Thank you, and you have a wonderful day.